Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the members, session, and staff here at Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church, we want to welcome you to our worship where we'll be seeking to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make. The wearing of a face mask is highly recommended when attending any church function on the campus of Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. Due to COVID issues, just please be reminded that Operation North State, the October's Veterans Collection, has been canceled. The Presbyterian Women's Circle meetings will be held this Tuesday, October the 12th. The morning circle will meet at 10 in the Fellowship Hall, and the evening circle will meet at 7 in the parlor of the Fellowship Hall. All women are invited to attend. The community meal is this Thursday, October 14th. We're continuing to have to do it in a drive-through only fashion. We'll begin service at 5 o'clock, and it will continue until 6:30, or until we've run out of food, which is likely to be the case this week, as the menu is meatloaf, mashed potato. I assume that's mashed potatoes, but I don't know. Meatloaf and potatoes, vegetable medley, and dessert. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, right? Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that sounds good. 5:30 to 6:30. Come early if you want to get fed. Mark your calendars. The Cooks Annual Fall Festival this year will be on Saturday, October 30th. We would love to receive your donations of individually wrapped bags of candy now through Sunday, October 24th. There's a box in the narthex marked Fall Festival, and you can put your stuff in there as well. Again, what I'd really want to focus on is that we see our members. And again, I'm new to this church, even though I've been here 2 years thanks to COVID. And I'm sure this is a church that shows out very wonderfully for fall festivals. And they are such a special time to so many people. I mean, the scents and smells and sounds and experiences of this festival are awesome. But a lot of times, you know, churches I have seen, not necessarily this one because I haven't seen it, miss great opportunities at these things. There are people here coming to your campus, coming to see us because we're having an event. It's those moments that we can be very, very deliberate in getting to know people. We can ask questions about their lives. We can, in fact, get to know them. And then at the end of getting to know them briefly and in a social context, we can close with one simple question. Is there anything I can be praying for you today about? And then at our festival, for everyone who's here, we'll ask them to just jot that down on a little sheet of paper. And we're going to pray about those folks the next morning. And man, it's going to be Halloween. We probably need to be praying double, right? So the thing is, we've got an awesome opportunity. The men and women of this church put on a wonderful fall festival. But if we want to make it impactful for Jesus, then we have the members of the church here, armed not so much with words of rebuke, but instead with the kindness and openness and welcoming nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please bring the candy, but please also find time yourself to come and make a new friend or two. The world needs you doing that, and so does Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. Sermonette over, all right? Pastor Jason would like to invite everyone to join us for, and again, we're still working on a better name for this, but I am calling it Bible Boot Camp. We start tonight, and if you haven't signed up, that's not a problem. You can sign up online or show up this evening before the session meeting at 6. We're going to walk through the Bible in a different and interesting, hopefully, way. We're going to set it up with basics. We're going to fill in the foundation. We're going to put the support poles in. I guess this is sounding like building something. The thing is, we're going to go through it in a highlights fashion with the hope that in reading the actual words of the text, we're all going to become more inspired. That's a biblical outcome. That's one I'm willing to bank on. I've got 10 folks, I think, already, plus the members of the session, willing to bank on that with me. If you want to be part of that, please show up tonight at 6 in the Fellowship Hall. My book is getting written as we go through, a book, I should say, and if you'd like to read it, it's on the website. I'm putting it up week by week. If you have comments, especially if you have bad comments, that's your cue to give me a call and find not condemnation but gratitude, because the thing is, I think the work is brilliant already. It's not, Part of me knows that. The only way that I know that it isn't, though, is if you tell me where I can make it better. And I would appreciate it. All right, the beautiful flowers in the sanctuary this Sunday are in fond memory of my dear wife and partner in life, Harriet by Jack Parker. They are indeed beautiful. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements that need to come to the church's congregation? Yes, Heather. Any others? Okay, then let's turn our attention and our thoughts to the worship of God Almighty, and we'll begin with Luke giving us our call to worship.
The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation.
Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord exalts.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and for drawing us together to worship you. Oh Lord, we just ask that your magnificent power, the power that spun the planets into their orbits, the power that reached into the loam of the earth and fashioned man and woman. We pray that you would use that power yet again to do something glorious in our midst. Awaken in us all that strong sense of knowledge and trust in your word, the word that you proclaim to us through your word, the word that speaks of Jesus Christ as being our Lord and our Savior. And so today we come with hurting hearts. We felt the bumps and scrapes of this world, and now, Heavenly Father, we find ourselves in a posture of need. We yearn for your gospel. We thirst for it. We hunger for your righteousness. And so, Heavenly Father, we just ask that as we are gathered this morning, today, that you would move your Holy Spirit powerfully among us, allowing us to both see and know, and most importantly, to trust in your righteousness, in your ability to inform the way that we should and ought to live our lives. So move among us, O Holy Spirit. Move among us, O Triune God, so that we might see, know, and trust you today and into your glorious eternity. We make these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Sovereign, our King. Amen. I invite you now to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, those who are able. It's number 65.
Thank you.
let our transgressions and our sins slide into that blessed spot of non-remembrance in our hearts and in our lives. And yet in that silence of confession, we find our trust in ourselves slowly evaporate. And when that trust in ourselves is depleted, we have nowhere else to turn. We become broken, jaded, dissatisfied. Yet the Bible tracks for us another way in which we can handle our misdeeds. It in fact teaches us that Christians confess their sins before their God, knowing and trusting ahead of time that they are forgiven for Jesus Christ. Salvation assures us of that. Jesus Christ's resurrection, rather, assures us of that. But also that we are called to be His disciples in this time and in this place. So friends, let's not deny ourselves this privilege, and let's therefore boldly confess our sins this morning, remembering that God not only hears them, but He indeed has already forgiven them in advance. Let us join together, providing ourselves a moment of personal confession at the end. Join me. God, our fears and prejudices run deep. Sometimes we can only see our own point of view. We stick with those who are like us, rarely venturing outside our comfort zones. We do not hear those crying for justice and true peace. We blame those who are suffering and in need instead of standing by them. We deny the power of your gospel to invite us with those who are different from us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Open us to new possibilities for life for all your people, and use us to enact the new life given in Christ. Amen. The grace that we expected is there, always has been, by Christ's blood, and always shall be. And friends, do know and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, now and forever. Amen. As believing Christians, we profess what we believe using the language of confessions. Confessions that stretch back to the beginning of the Christian faith. This morning we use an ancient one, but not the most ancient. This morning we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, saying aloud together the words of the Apostles' Creed found in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 625. At this point, if I could invite the children to come forward and spend a few minutes for a time of learning designed especially for them. Hey. Is that Minnie? You got a Minnie Mouse. That's cute. That's fun. How you doing, Aiden?
Good.
You have a good week?
Mm-hmm.
I know how you jokers have done. Pretty good, huh? About 50-50, all right? I can go with that. Guys, today I want to tell you a story about something I did when I was a kid. And it was not the right thing to do. I think you're probably catching the drift. I made a lot of mistakes. My kids did know that pretty well, too. One of the things that I really had a problem with when I was a kid was telling the truth about my homework. So what would happen is my parents would come in and they'd say, Jason, did you do your homework? And you see, I had a little thing for playing games. I like to, you know, play, I think at the time it was maybe Battle or something on the Atari or playing with my friends outside. What I did not want to do, what I wanted no part of, was homework. And so, unfortunately, children, what I learned was that if I was not honest in those moments, my parents, who trusted me, would leave me alone. Now, how do you think I used that? Do you think that I was really only using it on occasion? Or do you think that maybe I used that all the time? What do you think?
All the time.
Yeah, Aiden. I did.
Basically an older
Aiden. Yeah, I was sensing that the other day when we talked, too. The thing is, what I did not know then is that being dishonest or not trusting actually creates a greater problem. And the thing is, it creates a greater problem because it points us to the true problem. At some level, what I was not doing in those moments was trusting God. Now, here's how I spell that out. You know, the Bible talks about not telling a lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness, right? Well, when we tell a dishonesty, are we holding up to that? No. And as a result, the thing is, we'll have consequences. You see, even though I could tell my parents an untruth, my teachers, they knew better, didn't they? And wouldn't you know it, my teachers talked to my parents. What do you think happened then? Well, you see, I'd lost all their trust. So I could tell them I'd done my homework, but for months and months after that, I had to show it to them. Eventually, they trusted me again. You see, what we find oftentimes is that when we don't trust other people and we don't trust God, then we trust ourselves in a way that's not healthy, and we do things that we wish that we hadn't.
Like I've been telling my grandma a lot of lies, and she is not trusting me a lot.
There you go. You reap what... Now look, there's another biblical lesson in that. That's true. I feel it too sometimes. We reap what we sow. When we go out and sow dishonesty, what we get back is discord and dislike. But when we in fact sow the truth, as Jesus tells us to do, what we sow is the gospel. The good news that there is forgiveness, that there is love, and the place we find it is in Jesus Christ. Can we pray about that for a moment? Dear God, we just thank you, O Lord, for your grace that reminds us, Heavenly Father, to trust you. In all things and in all ways, Father God, enable us to trust you by trusting your word, that you want for us that which is righteous and holy and good for us and good for the world. And your word steers us away those things that will leave us parched and hungry and broken. Speak to us afresh in all ways and in all seasons of our life, beginning as a child. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks a lot, guys. We come now into a time of the reading and proclamation of the word, and as we do so, we lift high to God a prayer for illumination. We do so trusting that his word will speak among us in a new and powerful way as the Holy Spirit descends and makes us aware of exactly who we are and what God would have us be. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, who caused all holy scriptures to be written, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make your will known to us powerfully and wonderfully this morning. Enable us to see with your eyes, to hear with your hearing, and most especially, O Lord, let it be the reason by which we employ our hands and our arms and our legs in such a way to make the world a better place, because as we do so, listening to you, we are the body of Christ. In his name, we make these prayers. Amen.
Good morning. As you can see, I'm not Leah Lyerly, but I am her mom. Leah's softball game got rescheduled because of the weather for yesterday, so I'm filling in for her. And the standing joke at our house is that I needed to stand up on the little step that's down here to be as tall as she is. But I think I'm okay. I'll be reading the Old Testament scripture from Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with a perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calmly will dawn upon him suddenly. In a moment he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and the one who sows discord among brothers.
Proverbs always lays me out, man. It's a tough one to read. It's a joy at times when you find yourself doing right, but gosh, it can be difficult on us when we know that we've running astray from what the Lord would have us be. You know, I'm reminded this morning of a time in my life in which I was pretty nervous and anxious a lot of the time. It came, of course, as we had our second child. That was a whole different ball of wax than just one. As I've shared with you before, it was really just a learning process, one with a pretty steep curve, unfortunately. I certainly remember having to put both of the kids, one who could barely toddle in, another who was in one of those locking systems where you put it in and it fastened in. And what would often happen is when I would pick them up from daycare, I would grab the wonderful diaper and bottle bag that was filled with all the provisions and go about, after putting it on top of the car's roof, putting the kids in their individual seats. Well, it was the case, because I was distracted and probably more than a little anxious, that it wasn't too often that I remembered a very important thing. The bag was on top of the car. And so a lot of times what I would do is I'd pull out or pull forward and I'd hear the sound of plastic cascading against concrete. At first it was a different noise, but I soon learned what it was. I kept being distracted, so I came up with what I thought was a very logical solution. I was just going to lay the bag behind the car as I walked around, yeah, remembering to get it when I came back in. I learned a different sound that day. I also learned how to get a tire print off a diaper bag, so I don't think Natalie knows, but I did. I destroyed the bag. What I want to point out is sometimes the most obvious things we forget. We forget them not because we're intending to forget them. We're not trying to be dishonest or lazy. We just simply forget because we've got thousands of things on our minds elsewise occupying it. The thing is that oftentimes it's been my experience in the church that the one most obvious and clearly remarked upon trait in the Christian Bible is that we trust God. You know, we may say that we trust God. I might profess to trust God enormously. But there we run into the difficulty between the reality that exists between disharmony between what exists in my head and what exists in real life. You see, one is actual and real, and the other is absolutely and quintessentially a figment of my imagination at some times. What I've experienced in the church, and I have also been a party to, so please, nobody hearing this needs to think that somehow I was above the fray, is that the trust in God is the one essential thing that we must have to get the rest. You know, I did a lot of reading about trusting people this week. And lo and behold, what I found out was not really surprising, but still a thump in the nose nevertheless. You see, what we find is that people that don't trust easily oftentimes don't do so because at heart they don't trust themselves. Their lack of trusting another person isn't so much found all the time in the other person's misdeeds. Don't hear me wrongly. There are people that we can't trust. But if you find yourself in this time and in this age finding it increasingly difficult to put your faith in another human being, it isn't the other human being most of the time that has the issue. The issue is you, and the issue is you and God. Many times what we find is that we say that we have faith, trust in Jesus, but then our very actions betray that as being untruthful. What we find is that we say that we can trust, but we don't. We can't. We don't trust ourselves because we've known too often how we fall short of the mark. And we certainly can't trust others, because if we know that we goof up, we know that other people do to an order of 100. But there is, in fact, a better way. There's a way in which we can find our faith in other people established as well as our faith in ourselves. And it begins with becoming childlike. Have you ever noticed how easy children are to get to do things? I remember one time when Lily was about 2 years old, I said to her, she was understanding words, I said, "Lily, I want you to go and sit down at the purple table and wait for dinner." She was there, right? I realized that I had a power. So you see, she trusted me. But we all know how that story goes. Unfortunately, we've lived it. That once robust trust that we have in other people slowly erodes away. And it erodes away per one level because other people, well, they do us wrong. The other way in which it erodes is, well, we find ourselves doing other people wrong. And you see, in that crossfire of believing ourselves to be better and morally superior to others, and yet knowing that the truth is much closer to reality, we reject the one piece of wisdom that we all need. It was never about trusting ourselves as the means to trusting other people. That, in fact, the Bible is going to tell us is actually absurd. That the intent was very clearly to trust our God. And more specifically, to trust the Word of God, which we believe is Jesus Christ. And we believe that as it testifies to Jesus, that the Bible is our way to reach the Word of God that is most direct and most certain. So we need to find trust. We need to trust ourselves. We need to trust our God. And the only way I'm convinced to do it is to hear the words of Scripture. I read to us now from Matthew 18 yet again, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of our Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When we leave trust out of the equation with others in our lives or with God, we're going to find our lives quickly deteriorating into a disharmony. Children, as I've said, we have to create protection around. We have to, because we know just how easily they trust. They find someone who seems kind and wonderful, and they're not yet aware that sometimes kind and wonderful people aren't quite what they seem. And so we guard them. Because of that, we call it naivete. I would simply say they have a yet unbroken trust ability. But you see, we live in a world that's broken by sin. And so the natural occurrence, the natural drift in all of our lives is to time and time again come into that place where we trust less and less. There is, in fact, nothing but disharmony, as I've said, down the path of dishonesty. We simply know some things about God and how he talks about what we lose when we don't have trust in him. The first thing we lose, this is interesting, I can't help but find it to be so. Believe it or not, when trust starts to disappear in yourself as a function of your lack of trust in God, you know what the first thing is? You get led into distractions. How many of us have ever come up with a really good idea, and yet just in that moment of inspiration of the good idea, we find 15 other things that we could do just as easily? And then knowing that the one thing that we feel really called to do is tough and difficult, how quickly do we allow ourselves to be distracted? Many were the occasion that I set out to write a sermon that would change the world, but found myself watching an endless loop of diners, drive-ins, and dives. That's what happens. We set up an expectation, but it's an unrealistic expectation, one that we shouldn't trust because it's come from us, and yet that's exactly what we do. There is our sinfulness. There is how we feel it. Distractions. distractions are easy to point out in individuals, but I think there's a whole lot of distractions that go on in broader and bigger things. You know, I am blessed once every year or so to spend time with a relative's spouse who's also a pastor, a different denomination, a different sense or take on the Christian faith, but one that is a wonderful friend and that we enjoy each other's conversations greatly. At least I do. I hope he does as well. Well, one year when we got our time as the children were off playing in the surf, I had the opportunity to ask him about what he was doing and what was had him excited at work. And his answer depressed me. It's like, well, you know, I'm really having to work on administrative matters. I'm getting my staff in line. Okay, well, that's something. What else are you working on? Well, you know, we flooded out the basement, and so we got to raise some money, so now I'm getting a capital campaign put together. Okay, what else are you working on? On and on it went, and I'm telling you, if we hear as our mission Matthew 28, then everything that man was doing was a distraction. I felt mighty good about myself hearing all of that. Until I stepped off of that beach and began to think about the things that I tell my wife I'm engaged in at the church. Committee meetings. Issues of hassle. Other things. I was just as indictable in that moment as he was, but my ego wanted to see it otherwise. What I mean is that church can become a place very easily where the distractions become the big deal. We think that it matters about the color of the carpet or the paint on the walls. I've sat in hundreds of hours where we've talked about that. Ostensibly, every one of those meetings was designed so that if we got the color or the carpet right, then we would be able to go out and meet people for Jesus Christ. My experience has been that we didn't start out trusting the Lord to give us the mission, and we found that fact inescapable as we spent hundreds of hours debating paint and carpet. You see, when you see what Jesus tells us the church is about, those distractions, is anybody really not going to come here because of what we have painted on the walls? If the people here have Jesus and the Word in their heart? Are people really not going to come to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church or any other church because some committee has made the wrong choice and now the beige carpet is turning people away by droves? Yeah, that doesn't sound real plausible to me. And if it does to you, maybe we should talk. Because those aren't the things that drive people away from your church. A lack of trust of God will do it every single time. How do you know there's a lack of the trust of God? Well, you know inside you those places and those points that don't align with God's vision far more than I do. Oftentimes the role of the church has been to tell you where you're wrong and to tell you that if you just gave a dollar or two in the plate, somehow God would seem okay with it. The fact of the matter is that's not what we're supposed to be doing. What we're supposed to be doing is lifting high the cross and truthfully telling you that trusting God is the best choice that you have. The best choice because it makes the most sense. The best choice because it leads to the best outcomes. We've all done things dishonestly. We've all made mistakes based on a lack of trust in God. They may have occurred because we were fearful, or sometimes we're just worried about our pride being damaged. But however we got to it, we know the Word of God, and we chose to trust other voices. And so what do, many of us? Many of us say ignorant to the Word. The Word of God being the most readily available means by which we access Jesus is the means by which we grow our trust in something or someone far greater than us. And something or someone that can actually change our lives for the better. It's found in nowhere else as purely and as wonderfully as it is in the Word of God. Because a guy like me, a guy in a denomination, well, they can't give you the whole Word of God. They just can't. It's a huge undertaking to even faithfully preach a couple of verses. It isn't in our power, and sometimes we don't even know what we're doing. There is, in fact, one way to acclimate yourself with the ways of God and thus the ways that challenge a world that is broken by sin. And we know that because there is suffering and starvation. There is evil and deprivation. We can look and we can see all that. And we often assume that the evil that is bad lurks somewhere out over the horizon. The fact of the matter is when we're not corrected by the Word of God, what's going on in the other people's worlds is not our concern. Jesus tells us as much. You see flecks in other people's eyes, get rid of the log in your own. He says, trust me too. He says, trust me because this path is frightening. This path of honesty, of truthfulness, of confession to even God Almighty is not for the faint of heart. It's not for anybody to take on alone. You don't have to. Because the pages of Scripture reveal that you are not an accident. You are not alone. That you were conceived in the mind of God before the foundation of time. Right? You were part of the plan. You. Not everybody else. You. But you see, the thing is, just like those children, you got burned. You got burned and you burned other people. And now what stands in between you and knowing God's grace, you got a trust issue. You got to work on it. Because not only does it lead to distractions, friends, when you have trust issues, they break up relationships. They cause groups to falter and fail. When you have trust issues, you are a very difficult person to a lot of others. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't, because there is, dear friends, a solution. One that's under our noses time and time again. It is trusting God. The God who tells us, I created this entire place as a field of blessing for my flock. The God that tells us, okay, even though you've messed up, you've taken a bite of that apple, you've done the transgressive acts that you most feared, that God says, it's okay, I got you. You're still loved. Just keep doing the right thing. When you find yourself down and broken because you've read the last article and you're convinced that the world is going to heck in a handbasket, it's in those moments that you need trust in God. Because what the Bible tells us is that things will be dark. There will be suffering for Christians. There ain't no escaping it. But there is also purpose. There is purpose and meaning for us, the likes of which the world has yet to encounter. Our meaning is found in the fact that as Jesus was sent by God, so too are we sent by Him to go into the world that's broken by sin and heal it and be a part of it. That's what Jesus tells us to do. And we do it because we trust the one who has created us, who's redeemed us in and through the blood of Jesus Christ, and who is sustaining us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is trustworthy. I want you to think for a moment about some of the things that you trust without knowing anything about. Every time I come into this sanctuary, ahead of all of y'all, I go to this back wall. I turn on switches. I come back into the sanctuary. Lo and behold, the lights are on. I take that as a given. That I'm going to turn those switches, those buttons, or whatever you call them, and flip those switches, and there'll be light. I trust it, which means, dear friends, sometimes that I trust Duke Energy more than I trust my Lord. What about the water? I know nothing about plumbing. Jimmy, right? I know nothing about it. Water, how it gets there. But do I turn on my faucet and expect it to go? I sure do. And yet, strangely enough, the God who has told me that He loves me, the God who has awakened for us all that sense of salvation, when it comes time to do a difficult thing in life, what do we say? I don't trust you, is what we often say. I don't trust you with my money. I don't trust you with my relationship. I don't trust you with the things that mattered to me. I don't trust you with my politics. I don't trust you. The list goes on and on. And we wonder why the church is dying. Friends, we've got a trust issue, and there's only one way back. It's through the Word of God. It has to be. Everything else right now has been polluted by a philosophical system of some variety. And we can't see the truth. We think right is wrong, and we think down is up. There is one corrective lens for that, one and one alone. And it comes when you trust that God is going to put in front of you in His Word exactly what you need to hear to live your life as a Christian. It's there, I promise. The other thing I promise is that contra what you'll hear from a lot of different voices, it won't turn you into a flaming jerk. It doesn't work that way. A lot of times we see these people on television that are decrying the sins of others. They may be right, they may be wrong, but what we know about them is that their action is unnecessary. How do we know it? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Do they really believe those words? Maybe not, if they're finding comfort with judgment of other people. Friends, trust to God begins in the Word because it is going to always orient you to Jesus Christ, who, though He was in the very form of God, chose not to live like a tech billionaire, but instead chose to walk among you and I, the people, the salt of the earth, the folks that aren't going to have $1 billion in their account at the end of the day. And He said to us, children, you are sheep of my flock. I know that because you hear my voice. If you hear the voice of Jesus, hear His desire that you know the Word, that you trust the Word in those times and seasons where it's difficult, because when it's not, anybody can trust it. It's how we deal with the difficult things that we learn, whether or not we have trust issues. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer as we seek to find the Lord and His power and His healing. We know that it exists. God's Word tells us that there is no prayer that God not only hears, but that all of those prayers God in His own wonderful way does indeed answer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we continue our prayer for so many of our members. First and most importantly, Heavenly Father, we remember the Love family as Max undergoes the loss of his mother. That service is coming up, and I will announce it as we get back into the service. Oh Lord, we pray also for our mission team that finds themselves in Kenya. We've gotten a good report. The COVID tests are negative. They will be coming back to us, and what a great cause for rejoicing. But rejoicing even further as we hear the ways that they've seen, tasted, touched, and felt the grace of our Lord in a place so far away that it's hard to even imagine. Gracious God, we pray for all of the folks here in our church that are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. We think today especially of Annie Lucky. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Corky McClure. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Dennis and Debony Abernathy. And we pray for Pauline Harper. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. And we make them all, concluding with the prayer our Father taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as people of faith, hearing the word of God, reminding us that He loves a cheerful giver, we turn our thoughts and attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Have you had that divine appointment with Jesus? There's a hymn in the old Brown hymnal that speaks of the Lord's intervention in our lives, that we can be made whole. And I invite you to sing on the chorus if you know the words. If not, you can hum. shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. Well, he touched me, and he made me whole. He made me whole. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the abundance of blessings you've showered into our lives. Now, gracious God, as we bring a portion of those back, we pray again that you would bless this offering, using it to bring about your ends and purposes in this, your world, your creation. In the name of God, we make these prayers. Amen. Have a seat. Please be seated. I finally did, as it would happen, overcome my little problem with forgetting. Not in all things, but my wife, as usual, gave me another great suggestion, and I was able to take it. She said to me, as strange as it seems, I don't know that she used those words, I'm embellishing. She told me, Jason, the first thing you need to do is put that bag in the car first. Wow, I wonder where I never thought of that. Friends, we make the mistake with church a lot, too. We think it's about the things that we do, and it is. That's how we shine the light, but it begins in a very different place. It begins when you say, okay, I've had enough. I don't trust myself anymore because I know what I do. And in that moment, you ask God to do for you what you have never been able to do for yourself, which is simply to trust him. It's in those moments that the Holy Spirit comes alive and gives us the ability to do what we couldn't do ourselves. And yet, dear friends, as un-Presbyterian as it may be of me to say it, I think if you don't get to the point where you ask for that, there may not be a lot going on in your faith life. And the reason is that trust that you're supposed to have, it's up on top of the car, or worse off, it's behind the car's tire. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Would you stand? We sing Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father. Through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Have a great day.